Amen. I'm going to go to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 13, beginning at verse 1 through 7. 2 Kings 13, beginning at verse 1 through 7. Jehoaz, son of Jehu, began to rule over Israel. So Jehoaz became king over Israel. In the 23rd year, notice this, King Joash reigned in Judah. He reigned in Samaria for 17 years. Next verse. But he did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He followed the example of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, continuing the sins of Jeroboam had led Israel to commit. Verse 3. So the Lord was very angry with Israel, and he allowed King Hazael of Aram and his son Ben-Hadad to defeat them repeatedly. Let me say that phrase one more time in verse 3. The Lord allowed him to be defeated repeatedly. Let me say that just one more time so you guys can get this. The Lord allowed him to defeat him repeatedly. That's what really grabbed my attention this morning in verse 4. Notice this. Then Joash prayed for the Lord's help. And the Lord heard his prayer, for he could see how severely, notice, the king of Aram was oppressing Israel. So God allowed this king to be defeated repeatedly and to suffer oppression. So the Lord provided someone to rescue the Israelites from that terrain. And notice, then Israel lived in safety again, as in the former days. But sadly, verse 6, but they continued to sin, following the evil example of Jeroboam. They also allowed the Asherah pole in Samaria to remain standing. And lastly, finally, Joash's army was reduced to only 50 chariots, 50, notice, 50, 10, 10,000. His army got smaller. What really intrigued me was that God allowed this king to be defeated repeatedly. How many things in your life continue to defeat you? How many sins in your life continue to defeat you? How many negative emotions continue to defeat you? How many things in your marriage continue to defeat it? How many things in your home continue to defeat you? What's interesting to me is that God allowed this king to repeatedly be defeated. See, I thought about something my mom and I were talking about just yesterday. For some reason, I don't know why my mom told me this, but she said, "Son, one day you're going to have your own office." Because all the years having been a pastor, I've never had my own office. Starbucks has been my office, and all these places I've been, but never had my own office. And she said, one day you're going to have your own office, and you got to do this one thing. She's laughing, you see. She says, "I want you to hang this in your office." A picture of her and my grandmother. And I asked her why, and she says, "Because I want you to always remember the reason you serve God." Amen. So my mom says, one day when you're in your office, I want you to hang this picture of myself and your grandma. And her reasoning was so intriguing to me because she said, "I want you to remember the reason you serve God." Let me tell you, the reason I serve God was because my grandmother was the first person in our family to receive Jesus Christ. And she really received Him. I grew up with my grandmother having the craziest boldness to tell anyone about Jesus without shame. It never failed that no matter where we were, it was like God would always bring one person for her to talk to Jesus about. Anywhere, she would tell people, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. And she always preached the gospel. In fact, she had her own little business here. And as I was in her and for years, I grew up visiting her in her business there at work, and she would take care of us. And for years, every customer that walked into that place heard about Jesus Christ. She would always hand out these tracts, and she would always invite people. She would always know exactly what to say. She knew her Bible. She was sold completely to Jesus. Even one day, my mom tells me the story that a customer actually sued her. And she lost that case and had to pay him off. And every month that she mailed the check to him, the enemy, she always included a track about Jesus. Until some time later, that man said, you can stop sending me money. I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. My grandmother was the first to start this legacy of serving God. And her target was my mom and my dad, who weren't believers at the time. It's hard to believe that my mom at one point was not saved. Right? But my grandmother kept pushing for her to go to church. And my mom and dad decided to go just to get her to shut up about it. And they did not want to admit it that they liked it. And they went again, and it was there that my parents received Jesus Christ, and they were completely sold. And then when they had three children, one amazing child and two others, they were just blown away. I didn't say it was me, you just know. But what's incredible is that my parents were determined that my three sons will serve God. So then because of my grandmother and her willingness to lead my parents to Christ and their willingness to lead me to Christ and my other brothers, they began this chain reaction of serving God. And see, this got me thinking about this passage of Scripture. Because Jehoaz, he did not grow up in a very godly example of a family. Jehoaz's father and grandfather, they did not serve God even though they were supposed to. They were bad examples. They were idol worshiping. They were serving in pagan worship. They were bad examples of godliness. And when Jehoaz was up to bat and it was his time to start his life and start his legacy as king, he was supposed to be the man to lead everyone to godliness. He was supposed to be the example. He was the one that was supposed to stand up for God and say, we're going to serve him. But rather, he began to follow that same example. He chose to continue the sin of his family and never stop. See, all of us here have to make a decision what legacy we're going to leave behind. And when God looks at you, he says, it doesn't matter how you grew up, who you grew up with, what examples you had, godliness starts with you. You can't blame your childhood. You can't blame your parents. You can't blame the lack of example you had, because God says, I'm calling you to be the first. I'm calling you to start the legacy. I'm calling you. to do it. So my grandmother was the first one, in spite of the example she had at home, in spite of the example she grew up with and the ungodliness she was around, when she made a decision to follow Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, she stuck with it and it continued on. That's the example that God says, I want for you. God says it starts with you. But it's sad that he made the choice to follow the wrong example. He made the choice to live and continue in sin and ungodliness. And as a result, the Bible says that God allowed him to repeatedly be defeated by a surrounding enemy nation. You see, when I read this passage, I don't know why I read it, but I realized something. Jehoahaz reminds me of a lot of people in church today. Aren't you tired of living a defeated life? Aren't you sick of the same thing defeating you every time? The same sin, the same habit, the same attitude, the same thing, whatever it is, defeating you every time, repeatedly. I can't get over this. It keeps happening to me. And you're supposed to live in victory. You're supposed to live in power. But every day of your life, you are being defeated. See, as a king, Jehoahaz was told by God, you now have power. You now have authority to lead. But Jehoahaz decided not to lead, rather to follow. And what we have in the church today is we no longer want to lead a life of godliness, but follow an example of the world. And we're standing up not for God anymore, but for our own sin. And he lived defeated. Revelations 1, verse 5 and 6. God says clearly that when you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the house of the earth, to him who loves us and releases us from our sin by his blood. Can we give him praise for that for a second? God says, I have saved you. I have released you from the blood of sin. But notice this, because of that now, verse 6, here's what God calls you now. He has made us to be what? Kings and priests. He has made us to be kings and priests. The Father to him, notice, be the glory. Forever, amen. See, God says, because I died for you, because you're my child, because your sins have been forgiven, you are now declared a king. And not the type of king that's there to be served, by the way. But God is saying now, you have power. Now you have authority. See, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, God releases his power and his authority over our lives. So everything around you in your daily life, you have power over. You have power over the sin that keeps defeating you. You have authority over those attitudes that keep defeating you. You have power and authority over anything in your life that is constantly defeating you. Because God says now, you have power and authority. But God also calls you a king because he wants you to lead. He wants you to be the example. You are the example in your home. You are the example to your children. You are the example to all the ungodly people around you. God says you are not to be a follower. You are to be a leader. Are you a leader of godliness in any area God has placed you in? 1 Peter 2:12 tells us, we as children of God, He says, keep your behavior, what?
Excellence.
Come on, say it. Just punch your neighbor for a second. Say, excellence. You better behave excellence. God says, keep your behavior. Hey, how's your behavior been lately?
Excellent.
Oh, yeah, okay. If you have to answer for yourself, in fact, ask your wife right now next to you, how's my behavior? Ask your spouse, your friend, the person you trust, hey, how's my behavior been lately? And in love, say, far from excellent. God says, as His children, our behavior should be excellent. Do you do things with excellence in your daily life? That word excellent doesn't mean perfect, so you can relax. That word excellence means different. It means that you do things so excellent that people see a difference in you. Are you an excellent driver? Are you an excellent coworker? Because excellent coworkers don't punch in late and leave early. Excellent drivers don't tell people they're number one. How's your parenting? Is it excellent? Is your marriage displaying excellence? God says our behavior should be excellent among the Gentiles, among those who don't know Christ. Why? Well, here it is. So that in the thing in which they slander you for, because the world's going to say you're wrong. The world's going to tell you that you're ignorant. The world's going to say that it's not worth following Jesus, and they're going to slander you. But here's the thing the Bible says. Even though they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them. How many know you're being observed by the world? Especially when you tell someone you go to a church, they begin to observe you. And even though they may say you're wrong or you're wasting your time and you'll never change, they'll slander you, there's one thing they can't take away from you, is that you do things with excellence, and maybe they just might glorify God. Does your life say that? Does this church have excellence? Do you give God excellent worship, excellent service? Do you give any area of your life that God has made you king over, leader of? Excellent. See, Jehoaz, he had a chance to do things with excellence. He had a chance to lead in godliness. He had a chance to change his life around and his family and everyone that was positioned under his authority. But instead of being a leader, he chose to be a follower. And not only be a follower, but be a follower of an ungodly example. He was a bad example to all the surrounding nations that knew these people served God. Jehoaz, as a result, he was living a life defeated. Every time Jehoshaphat went to war, he lost. Never had victory. Always lost the battles. Living hopeless. Living discouraged. Living defeated. And God allowed it. You see, I wonder, like Jehoaz, how many of you are living defeated? And it seems like you have no victory over your life and everything's always going wrong. Nothing goes your way. Because I'll tell you, in the church today, there are so many defeated people. In fact, I have the blessing now of working with some pastors in this board. And we help out a lot of other churches. And recently I got the numbers of how churches are doing as of 2018. And the year's not even over yet. But as of 2018, Divorce amongst Christians has risen 2%, making it now 55%. 75% of kids leave the church after high school and never come back. 48% of the church today, it's a huge survey that's done. 48% of people in church professing Christ have a gambling addiction. You know that Powerball you played. Oh yeah, Pastor, I was going to tithe it. I don't want your dirty money. 52% of people in the church today are living together and not wanting to be married. 72% of men indulge in at least one pornographic film a month. 72%. 40% of women regularly use pornography. 52% of people in the church regularly confess to having a problem with profanity. 15% go to church weekly. 7,000 churches close each year. Hey, does that sound like we're living in victory? Does that sound like God is really blessing us? Because maybe right now you're in those stats. You're saying, Pastor, I'm defeated by pornography. I'm defeated by gambling addiction. I'm defeated by other addiction. I'm defeated by substance abuse. I'm defeated by my bad attitude. I'm defeated in my marriage. I'm defeated with this sin and all these habits. And I feel like every day of my life, even though I try and I fight and I battle with it, I lose. And it makes no sense for a child of God to live a life of defeat. Because God says in Romans 8:36 and 37, He says, just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We're going through problems. How many of you say, Pastor, I agree, I'm going through problems. But He says this, but know this. We're considered like sheep to be slaughtered. That's positive. But in all these things, in all those things in your life that are defeating you, God says we are overwhelmingly more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Here's the thing. God says there's all these things in your life trying to slaughter you. There are all these things in your life trying to defeat you. But don't you know that because you're a child of God, you are more than a conqueror? But you might look at your life right now and you say, Pastor, I might have to disagree with that verse because I am not conquering my life lately. In fact, everything else is conquering me. And I'm being conquered by sin and filth and immorality. I'm being conquered by bad attitudes and habits. I'm being conquered by negative emotions like discouragement and unforgiveness and depression. I'm being conquered, and the last thing I feel in my life is victory. And it might look like God has lost His mind when He wrote this. And He told this church in Romans, you are more than conquerors. And the church today would say, we disagree with that. Because there's a lack of conquering in churches today. And let's be honest, there's a lack of conquering in this church. And more churches are being conquered than actually doing the conquering. Why? As God said, you are more than conquerors, but through Him. And the Lord has sent me to tell you to this morning, the reason you're living life defeated without conquering is because you are no longer doing life through God. You are doing it through your own self-strength, your own wisdom, your own power, You're doing it through people. You're doing it through money. You're doing it through pleasure. You're doing it through everything but God. And God says you are more than conquerors, but only through Him. But we as a church have become so prideful and so independent from God that it's no wonder He allows a defeat in our lives. And I know I'm not popular this morning because of a sermon like this. But I also know that you're tired of living defeated. And you're tired of saying, God, I'm going to overcome this, but it doesn't happen. Because we're not doing it through God anymore. So God allowed the enemy to invade every time, every day, all of the time. He continued to defeat them. And there came a point that Jehoahaz got tired of being defeated. He got tired of dressing up for battle and losing. He got tired of thinking he was going to win this time, and he didn't. And until we get tired of being defeated by life and sin and circumstances, you'll never change. And we face our battles and we say, I'm going to fight it this time. I'm going to do it this time. And you put your tail in between your legs and your head down and you say, I lost another battle today. I gave in to the sin again. And the devil just laughs at us. And he's laughing at the church of God. Because we dress up for church and we get ready for battle. But we lose. Jehoahaz got tired of the same thing and the same people and the same circumstance defeating him. He got tired of not being a conqueror. And God allowed defeat. Verse 3 of this passage in 2 Kings. The Bible says, the Lord was very angry with Israel, God's people. See, I believe today, if there's any time for God to be angry, it's now. God is angry when His children are defeated. God is angry because you should be more than a conqueror, but you're not, because you're not doing it through Him. And you have abandoned God. And obedience to Him is obsolete. And God is asking you this morning, are you tired of being defeated? Are you tired of an enemy that you're so much stronger than defeating you? God was angry. And God allowed it. The Bible says He allowed the king Hazael to defeat him. See, this is what really blew my mind about God. God will allow certain circumstances to defeat you. God will allow you to lose. God will allow you to struggle. God allows you to suffer because God is trying to get your attention. And He's trying to let you know, you need me. You can't do it without me. And until then, I'm going to allow the enemy to defeat you. Every day, every time you try, you'll fail. And God allows failure, and God allows setbacks, and God allows struggle. And we tend to think, no, He doesn't. He's a loving God. That is love. God is so loving towards you, He allows defeat to get you back on track. God allows it. You might say, well, Pastor, you're telling me that God allows problems? Yes. God allows suffering? Absolutely. If not the suffering of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't even be saved today. God allows suffering. God allows setback and pain. You say, well, how is that possible? That what I went through, God allowed? Yes. But it wasn't fair. Yes, it wasn't fair, but it was allowed. So God allowed that person to hurt me? Yes. And God allowed me to get sick? Yes. And God allowed that red light to be taken by that person that killed my child? Yes. Why? I don't know. I just know one thing. God is sovereign. Is He not? The sovereignty of God means that God is all-powerful, all-wise, and in control. Whatever you suffered was in the control of God. And I can't just say this without proving it to you. But Daniel 4:35. Daniel was sold as a slave. He lost his family. He lost his home. He suffered so much. Only to say this. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. But He does according to what? His will. Daniel looked at God and he looked at his life and suffering. He said, God will do His will as a host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can ward off His hands. Or say to Him, what have you done? Don't you feel like asking God that sometimes? Don't you feel like saying, what are you doing? What have you done? Why have you allowed this? And God says, I'm sovereign. It's my will. Lamentations 3:37. God says, who is there who speaks? And it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it. God says, you are so out of control of your life that you can't even speak or do anything unless I allow it. Is that not the sovereignty of God? Proverbs 21:30, Solomon said this about it. There is no wisdom and there is no understanding and there is no counsel against the Lord. So God says, you can do nothing, think nothing, say nothing against me. Your plans won't succeed. You might look at it this way. In His sovereignty, God allowed the suffering of Jehoahaz's life because He was trying to bless him. And you might look at the sovereignty of God and be offended by it. I know a lot of people are. You know, this is my life. And I do what I want and no one can tell me what to do. And I'm the controller of my own destiny. And God says, really? Let's see how that works out. In fact, we shouldn't be offended by the sovereignty of God. Can I tell you the peace that I have in my life is because God is sovereign? It means that no matter what I go through, God's aware of it. No matter what I've suffered, God allowed it. No matter what circumstances are against me, God's in control. What more comfort is there than the sovereignty of God? There is nothing more comforting because I know that no matter what I do, God is still sovereign. You know that God is still sovereign over the worst sin of your past? Well, you think you're that special that your sin is going to stop God from His purpose? You're not that powerful to say God can't use me. If God can't use you, it's because He doesn't want to. But if he wants to, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, what you're not capable of, he's going to use you. You want proof of this? Right here. Me. I don't deserve to be preaching up here. I didn't even want this. God is sovereign. And no matter how much I try to flee from this, here I am. Because he's sovereign. Let's stop being mad at God, huh? Let's stop saying, God, I don't understand and why are you doing this and why have you allowed this defeat in my life? Instead of saying, Lord, you're sovereign. What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to do in me? What are you trying to show me? Because clearly, you've allowed this for a reason. See, it was there that Jehoaz realized. Because he was being defeated and God allowed it. It got him to pray. It got him to recognize his need for God. It got him to see the failure of his sin. And it got him to change the course of his life. So rather than mope around and have pity over the things God has allowed, why don't you thank him, because that very thing he's allowed in your life is going to set you forth on his purpose, his plan, his destiny, because of his love. There's such confidence in the sovereignty of God, knowing that he is all-knowing. He is all-powerful and all in control. So whatever door he closed, he did it because he's sovereign. Whatever door he's opening, he's doing it because he's sovereign. He knows what's best for you. Therefore, that's why he allowed it. And he took them away from you. And he closed that opportunity for you. And you may be in a season you don't like, but God says it's a season that you need. Why, God? Because I'm sovereign. If you have anxiety in your life, kill it by saying, God, you're sovereign. You're in control. In fact, when people say, Pastor, what are you going to do? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Not that I don't care. But I don't need to know because he's all-knowing. I don't need to make it work or figure it out because he already has. Do you not see how much peace you can have in your life if you just trust in the sovereignty of God? And whatever God has allowed in your life, he's allowed it for a purpose. It's hard to understand why God allows suffering, but he does. And God allows it because we brought it upon ourselves sometimes. But he prayed. He was tired of defeat. See, I'll close with this. If you're here today, you're saying, Pastor, I'm not leading a life of excellence. I'm actually being defeated like Jehoaz. And all these things in my life keep conquering me. And I am far from being more than a conqueror. The Lord is speaking to you this morning. And he's asking you, are you tired of him? Are you tired of being defeated by the same sin you've had for years? Are you tired of being defeated by false promises you make to God in your prayers? This time I mean it, God. I'm done with it. Are you tired of living with shame and guilt because you know you're not leading the example that God has called you to be? God says, I have placed you as a king because you are to have all the power and all the authority and you are to lead the example of godly victory. But it's sad because as the world observes us, we're not giving them any good reason why following Christ is vital and is the best. Because when they look at you, they look at someone who has been defeated. And who wants to follow Christ after seeing you? Jehoahaz was tired of being defeated. So he made a decision and said, I gotta pray. Because I tell you, sometimes it may be cliche and too simple, because we want to complicate God. But sometimes if you're tired of being defeated and the enemy's just overwhelming you and you can't seem to conquer anything in your life, sometimes God says all you have and all you need is prayer. And he prays. Maybe in his prayer he said, God, I messed up. God, I've been a bad example. See, maybe there are some men here in this church that need to pray and say, Lord, I've been a bad example as a father, as a husband, as a friend. Maybe you need to pray today and say, Lord, I've been a bad example at work, at home, to my children. Maybe you have years of experience being a bad example. But God heard his prayer, because the Bible says he saw the oppression Jehoahaz had. You know that God is very aware and he sees the things in your life that are oppressing you. That word oppress means to be pressed down with pressure. God sees all the pressure you're under. God sees that you're being oppressed and defeated every day of your life. The bills are oppressing you. Your spouse is oppressing you. Your kids are oppressing you. All the things that you have to figure out and fix and lead are oppressing you. There's so much pressure in your life. And God says, just come to me and pray. Pray to him while he may be found, the Bible says. And it was there that God, the Bible says in verse 5, let me read this for you. In verse 5, God says, so the Lord, can we say that next word? Provided. Let me tell you not only about the sovereignty of God, but the provisions of God. We call this the providence of God. See, the sovereignty of God is saying God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all in control. And the providence of God says, because he's sovereign, God has the ability to intervene in any circumstance in my life. God has the power to not only intervene, but deliver me in spite of any situation that I'm in. Because of the providence of God, he's able to make a way where there is no way. Because of the providence of God, he can raise the dead. Because of the providence of God, he can work things out. It was because of the providence of God that no matter what Jonah did, he got back on his feet. It was because of the providence of God that when Moses hit a dead end at the Red Sea, it opened up. It was because of the providence of God, David found forgiveness. It was because of the providence of God, he multiplied the 5 loaves and 2 fish. The providence of God says, I don't care what you're facing. I don't care how impossible it is. I don't care what people say about it. Because I'm sovereign, I can intervene and deliver a miracle for you. That is the providence of God. Because he's sovereign. And he's saying someone needs to know that I'm a provider. But they need to come pray to me. Because they're defeated. And God is tired of you being defeated. And God came through for him. Supernaturally. And the Israelites lived in safety again as they did in the former days. In other words, God said, I'm going to restore your life like the good old days. But verse 6, I don't want to kill this story for you, so I won't. I'm going to turn it around in a positive way, I promise. But first, let me just, for a second. They continue to sin. See, this is your choice today. This is going to be a service that you pray a beautiful prayer, but you continue to sin. This could be a service that you tell God, God, I'm done. You're sovereign. You are in providence, God. Yes, I love it. And you go back to it and be defeated. What are you going to do? They continue to sin and follow bad examples. It's like, Pastor, you just killed this message for me. Amen. Yeah, I know. Listen, Jay, listen. God killed it for me when I first read it. I said, man, maybe I could preach to verse 5. And God's like, no, don't you leave that out. See, Jehoaz does something that we often do. See, I was fishing this week and I was on the boat. There's a compartment in my boat where I keep a life jacket. And the life jackets are just stored there. Just in case I need it. And if things go down, and the storm hits me, and I'm sinking, and I'm overwhelmed, then guess what I'm reaching for? The very jacket that I've just stored away. See, that's what you're doing with God. You get so distracted by life. Can I preach right now? You get so distracted by life. You get so distracted by your pleasure and this world and all the distraction that you just put God away. Don't think that you take Him out on Sundays. Because you can be in this church right now worshiping and God is still stored away. But then when life is crazy and things are chaotic and you're in trouble, you run and say, Jesus, I need you. In fact, I know some of you are here right now because you're in trouble. And you'll talk to me after about it. I know. You just store Him away. But God is not a life jacket that you just put on the side in case you need Him. God is something you put on all the time, the Bible says. Put on Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus. So here's your choice. Are you going to pray and continue to sin? That's what Jehoaz did. And what did God do as a result? He lowered his army. And I thought to myself, why did God do that? Because a king's power was known by the size of his army. That's why David kept counting. So God literally is saying here, if you pray but continue to sin, you will become less powerful no matter how much you pray. See, if you're here and you're praying all the time, but there's no power showing, it's because God is your life jacket. Can I give you the good news, though? Because I did promise I'll turn that verse around for you. All right. God is sovereign, amen? So He's sovereign. Okay, God is sovereign. So He's all-knowing, right? All right. Say, right, Pastor. All right. So that God... not know, being sovereign, that Jehoaz was going to go back to his sin. Amen? But did that stop God from answering his prayer and saving him? How awesome is God? Let me tell you why. God knows things about you you don't even know about yourself yet. God knows how bad you're going to mess up before you've even done it yet. God is so all-knowing. He knows what you're going to struggle with, how you're going to mess up, how you're going to sin. But right now, if you would call Him, He'd save you. Right now, if you say, Lord, I need you, He'll come through. Knowing what He knows about you, He still says, I'll be there for you. That's why I love God so much, because before He even called you into salvation, He knew what He was getting into. And it never stopped Him from showing up. So stop telling yourself God can't intervene, because then He is not sovereign. God can say, I can show up and I can help you overcome, but you got to do it through me. Every head bow, every eye closed this morning. And like Jehoaz, you're here and you're saying, God, I'm tired of being defeated. I'm tired. of praying but continuing to sin? I'm tired of being powerless. And God, I know I'm a bad example. I'm not a leader in my home. I'm a follower of the ungodly world around me. I'm not doing things with excellence, and I'm defeated. If you relate to that, you show me your hands this morning. God bless you all around. You're saying, I'm defeated. It's time for you to make this decision that you're going to stop being the follower and start being the leader. And you're going to lead a life of excellence in the presence of all the people that need to know God. You're saying, God, I'm going to do it through you now because I'm tired of not conquering. And I want to be more than a conqueror, but you can't be more than a conqueror except through Him. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Let me pray for you. If you're here online and you're listening now, this prayer is for you as well, wherever you're at. The sin that has overwhelmed you will no longer overwhelm you. You're going to conquer that. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the sin, how long you've been leading this life of bad example. God right now is so sovereign and His providence is so powerful. He will intervene in spite of who you are, what you're facing, what the circumstances may be, and no matter what people may have said to you, God has the final word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that in your sovereignty you brought to your church. I pray for every soul here, present and not present, listening right now, who are defeated, continuously being defeated by sin, by habits, by ungodliness, and wrong emotions. Father, in the name of Jesus and no other name, all things are possible. You are sovereign and in control of our life right now. Therefore, in your sovereignty, we rest, knowing that you have a plan, you have a purpose for our lives, for this church, for our destiny. And because you're a God of providence, you will be a provider to us. Against all odds, you will make a way because I hold you accountable to your word. You will supply all our needs according to your riches. You will guide us and lead us. And we cast all anxiety away on you. For you care for us. And we declare that you are sovereign over our lives, over our families, over our marriages, over our children. You are sovereign over all things and in control. And no matter what you've allowed for us to suffer, we suffer it for your glory. Forgive us for asking, what are you doing? As we trust you. If there's anything in this life that goes unnoticed by you, you are not the sovereign God you declare, but we know that is not true. You are sovereign over our sin and our past failures. So in Jesus' name, you tell the Lord right now what's defeating you and declare the sovereignty of God over that. Declare the providential power of God to provide for you, to make a way for you, to open doors for you, and let no circumstance be bigger than your God, the sovereign God that you serve. Father, receive our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Would you give Him a shout of praise today? Amen.